Hey, y'all. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us this week. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Dale Stanton is my guest today. Now, man, you talk about overcoming adversity. Dale's done it, and I want us to take a look at the way that she did it, and maybe there's something in her story that we can use to apply to our lives as we come out of incarceration and we try to get back on our feet. Dale Stanton's going to be my guest today. Right after this, I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, got something you need to get off your chest? You can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Come on, drop me a line. Everybody, welcome back. With me today is Dale Stanton. She's the author of a book called The Hooker's Daughter, a Boston Family Saga. Welcome, Dale.
Thank you so much, Rodney, and I so appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today and your audience.
Set the stage for us. You had it rough as a child, didn't you?
Yes, I did. My memoir, The Hooker's Daughter, describes what it was like and the experience. I was about 6 years old when I first realized that I conceptualized that my mother was a prostitute and various Johns were coming to the house, plus my mother had other locations within the community and environs. And it was a real struggle. I was rejected, apart from, of course, the family was as a whole, but I was rejected from playing with children, certain children, and even the Girl Scouts asked me to leave. And throughout, there was a lot of shame. And then I also had a deal with, I was 9 years old at the time, and we're going back into the 50s when my sister came out as a lesbian. And, of course, that was like a radioactive bomb in those days. And she was picked up eventually. She ran away from home, picked up by the police, placed in a convent initially, then sent to a mental institute for observation. And then she proceeded eventually, after all that was over, she lived homeless for quite a while. But what I'm bringing out about that aspect of my life was my sister, she was older than I and sort of my protectant, and I looked up to her. So it was a terrible blow to me, and, well, within the family, certainly, to have lost her, if you will, for the many years that we did, and the whole shame of that experience. And eventually... I would see her a little bit over the years, and then, of course, I mean, we were always loved each other and connected, but our lives took such different paths, and eventually we came together again in a more sisterly fashion. And then I went on from there with other trials and tribulations. I went and married, and then my husband became ill with a brain tumor with a prognosis of 2 months to 2 years to live. He lived 6.5 years in very difficult, sad years, apart from he had diabetes, he went blind, he had his brain tumor, et cetera, and many challenges within that. So it was really a bumpy road of kind of always being a pariah and looking in from the outside, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that listen to this show have bad memories as a child as well. You've got some really messed up stuff there in your past. And so how did you keep those memories, and how do you keep those memories from affecting you now?
Well, I love that question. Thank you. I think that I set out as a child, I realized that things were very much askew, that I had to stay strong and try to make my life as normal as I could under whatever the circumstances were and obstacles. And I went forward, and I might have slipped back and went forward and slipped back. And that's all I wanted to do, was be a member of society and not be ostracized, which is basically what I had always known. So today, it took me many years to evolve, and I really, not to be trite, because that expression of turning lemons into lemonade, but I set out to make my life a positive experience, and being able not only to empower myself, I had children and people around me. And I love to give a quote from Christopher Robin, who said to Winnie the Pooh, and this is the quote, "You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think." And I tried to live by that.
Well, this is ultimately a story about overcoming adversity, isn't it? And I want to zero in on that time period in your life. As many of us who listen to the show and participate in the show do, we want to know that exact moment when you decided to change things, and that you weren't going to let your past affect your future. Tell us about that, if you can.
Well, as I stated before, I made that vow as a very young child, and so I tried to keep my nose to the grindstone, did well in school, and try to forge ahead and stay out of trouble. And if anything, I think my conscience was that I didn't want to do any slipping, because I had all this antisocial behavior surrounding me. There were other things going on besides prostitution, shoplifting, scams, the stolen car ring, various men, not only the Johns, but men coming in our lives. And my father was very low functioning. And so I think that as I kept on proceeding, I kept on saying there must be a more natural, normal way that people live. And with a lot of struggle, and I wasn't initially educated, I mean, that too was a barrier. I only saw my life as the opportunity. What would I be, a hooker? In those days, my father drove a taxi cab. And I saw my choice. It wasn't like today's women that have the opportunity to just about, whether they go to college or they can really do whatever they want to do. So those opportunities. So I scratched my way up.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to let you off the hook here, Dale. I want to know, where do you think that strength to make that decision to not go down that bad road, where do you think that strength comes from?
Well, I always, the question is it nature or nurture? And I think that maybe some of us are blessed with DNA that has more determination intrinsic to our souls and our being. And I think, you know, that has a lot of it. And in all fairness to my mother particularly, with it all, with all this antisocial stuff going on, in her own way, she was very nurturing and very, actually a very sensitive and charming person with a lot of good sides to her. And I think that maybe I gleaned some of her bravery and her leading the way. I mean, she needed the money. My father was not a provider, was not interested, and all kinds of problems. So I think that I sort of acquired maybe from her being a leader and being brave, because I found myself having to do the same thing with my own children, because my husband was a very young man. I was only 30 years old. He was pretty much non-functioning due to his illness. And I just... So I think that a certain strength comes from within, definitely, and I think that one has to talk to themselves, you know, to not be burdened down by a lot of the problems that can surround one in their life and say, hey, I am just going to go forward.
Okay, fair enough. We're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, more with Del Stanton. We'll be right back after. I don't need a diamond watch or a ruby or a pinky ring. All I know is I'm yours and you're mine. Just press your lips against mine. Hello. Well, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know that the way I spend my downtime is learning how to play music. And I use something called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. The Jam Buddy Chord Chart helps you play in every single key, no matter what the instrument is. That's what's cool. It's because it uses something called the Nashville Numbering System. If you like to learn how to play music, you need one of these Jam Buddy Chord Charts, and you can catch it by clicking on the link right next to the podcast that says Jam Buddy Chord Chart. Get one. It's the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. And welcome back. We're talking with Del Stanton. She's written a book called Hooker's Daughter, A Boston Family's Saga. Del, why did you decide to write the book?
Okay, well, I had kept all these problems and antisocial events in my life to myself. I never spoke about it with people. And even though I was ostracized and rejected in many situations, I did not deal with it as a younger person. And then finally, especially my children had been through a lot with their father being ill, and they had very rough years themselves. So I felt that I wanted my children to know what my life had been like, because I had never revealed it to them, because again, it was like sort of staying strong and keeping my nose to the grindstone. So when they were in their very late teens, I decided to tackle this and write it for them. But those in my inner circle, some people that I did ask to read it, were so impressed with the story and the courage, that was the word that seemed to resonate with everybody, of revealing all this and going ahead, that they said, you can't put this in the drawer, you have to put it out there. So I took that step of, again, having some courage and putting it out there for others to read, which it's been really received very well.
It has. And, you know, ex-offenders don't get the opportunity to make a decision on whether they're going to air their dirty laundry or not. It is out there. So, you know, the reading about someone and learning about someone who has made the choice to put it out there and how they dealt with it can be very beneficial to ex-offenders. What advice do you have for people that are looking to overcome adversity, Dale? Because you've been there and you've done it. What advice would you have for the listeners?
Well, I'd like to say to them is if they could introspectively look within their lives and sort of set a goal of where they would like to be and have a life that gives them some quality and not have to pay the check for others. In other words, maybe they had been influenced by problems in their youth or family dysfunction or various other circumstances. And I think that if ex-offenders can say, okay, now moving forward. When I am out talking, I like to talk about, from the Bible, Joseph. And he was a boy sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. And obviously a dysfunctional situation. Well, he was imprisoned in a depraved land. And he then rose to become viceroy of Egypt. And he forgave and sustained his family. And the reason I refer to this analogy, and perhaps it would help ex-offenders, is even though it's an exaggeration, the story, but it does address trauma and love and forgiveness. And like Joseph, myself and others could have been thrust into situations they couldn't control. And all through their ordeals and mine, I wanted to take the positive route and love and forgive and say, okay, I don't want to waste my life anymore on maybe the past or the negatives. And as we all know, the quote from the German philosopher Nietzsche, who wrote, "What does not destroy me makes me stronger." And so I think one has to go ahead and use their strengths from any destructive patterns or imprisonments or punishments that might have been bestowed upon them and say, okay, now I'm stronger for this and I'm going to make it better for myself and for those around me that I love. I always like to think no one is perfect. We all have flaws and wounds and deficiencies, and they're hard to admit. But our imperfections are part of us, and to deny them, we're hiding from ourselves and from each other. And so life is not about flawlessness, but about overcoming. And I think overcoming is the key of not paying, continually paying that check that was... It's gone and done with, and to move ahead and to be healthy.
But there's also the issue of dealing with being ostracized because of the past. And that's one of the things I like about you, is you address that. Tell us a little bit about how to deal with being ostracized because of your past.
Well, very painful, and certainly... I would bury the pain and the sensitivity, and also put blinders on regarding that experience. And when I did write this book, actually, for those that might be interested, when I did put it out there, I was so sorry initially because I said, "Oh my God." But I began to hear from people from all over, many people whom I didn't even know, how they could relate that they too had secrets and problems. And what came through was being honest and being out there, the transparency. And I think that that helped me really realize that no more secrets. That's really what I'm trying to get to. Once you face it and get it out there, whether I'm not saying necessarily everybody's going to write a book, but to either apologize to yourself and to those around you that you might have hurt or unwillingly did things, I think that really makes a big difference, and then it allows you to move forward in your life. I think that's a way to have gotten to get rid of the pain, because once again, you're dealing with the baggage that you did not pack, perhaps. I mean, in some cases, perhaps you've really done something that, you know, you're ashamed of. But if you can look at it and acknowledge it, and the impact, you really devalue the impact of the gossip and the embarrassment, and no more secrets.
Mm-hmm. Dale, how do we find you? How do we find the book? Tell us about that.
Okay. First of all, I have a website, www.thehookersdaughter.com. No apostrophe on that, Hooker's Daughter, on that website. And reviews are on there. The ability, if anybody chooses to order the book, and I'd be happy to sign it, they can do it through my website. Mm-hmm. It's also available on Amazon and Infinity Publishers. And for those that might have the tablet, the e-readers, it's on Nook and Kindle and iReaders. So there's various sources. And in fact, in the back of my book, I do, and on my website, I do have an email that if I love hearing from people, and I've been so blessed. That's the other thing that I think as people move forward, they can acknowledge when they come out of their painful place. I have been so blessed by hearing from people that I said before, I might have known only slightly or not at all. And they share things with me, not because they think of me as a therapist, which I'm not, but because I think the transparency is a wonderful way to heal and to be able to face the demons.
Dale Stanton, the book is called The Hooker's Daughter, A Boston Family Saga. I recommend it because Dale has real-world experience on overcoming adversity. You can get some great ideas from reading her story. Dale, I want to thank you so much for being here today.
And I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak with you and your listeners. And I do hope that if people read the book, I might even hear from them. And much good health and happiness for the new year to you.
Great deal. Okay, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, more on the Journey of Hope. We'll be right back. Don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I think it's important. There is a website called Daily Strength, and it is just absolutely wonderful. It's support for people in all different kinds of situations, people with breast cancer, people with bipolar disorder, people that have all kinds of addictions and so forth. And it's just people that get into these little discussion groups and they vent. And I think it's a wonderful concept. It's a great idea. And it's one of the 50 odd some places that we post the show. Now, you know, those of you that are regular listeners to the show, that this show has nothing to do with money, but it doesn't do any good to have a podcast unless you, you know, post it in as many places as possible so people listen to it. So, you know, it's somebody accused me on that side of this being about the money. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Do you know how much money we lose doing this? And it's a labor of love, but that's not really the point I wanted to make. There's a group there called Families of Prisoners, and I like the concept of the group. I go when I post the show there, and not every time, but maybe once a month, I'll kind of read through some of the posts. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because it brings up a good point. People are coming up alongside each other. They're talking to one another about having loved ones incarcerated and what's that like. I just can't think of anything more wonderful than to have that kind of support. But here's where I have an issue. I see some people giving advice on that particular site. Now, this is Daily Strength, and it's a subgroup of Daily Strength called Families of Prisoners. The advice that's being given is not only wrong, and I see this all the time on there, but it's downright dangerous for some of the offenders. Should the people take that advice that they're getting on that board, and, you know, like I saw some things about approaching prisoner or prison officials about certain situations, and, you know, I'm not going to go into specifics, but I'll tell you this. Just generally speaking, it's not a good idea to get advice off of bulletin boards. And you know what? You need to take what you get here on this podcast with a grain of salt, too. Research your question. All states have some sort of a FAQ, frequently asked questions, where you can go online and find out information about offenders in terms of the process and the way things work. I've seen some really, really just downright harmful things in regard to parole on that particular site. And the thing about it is, there's only like three or four of the posters on that board that are doing this. Everybody else is just venting and coming alongside each other and helping each other get through, you know, their loved one being sentenced and going off to jail or maybe approaching parole or preparing for release. I just think it's great. But these people, and there's about three or four of them that are giving advice on there. And what I picture in my mind, because they don't provide pictures of themselves, what I'm picturing is somebody sitting in front of their trailer drinking a cold beer with their belly hanging out and four teeth missing and, you know, tapping on their laptop, thinking that they're giving someone advice. And I don't know, maybe their heart's in the right place, but the advice is horrible. And just generally speaking, use the facts that the states provide. Heck, I even know for a fact that if you call an attorney with one single question, I would say probably 8 out of 10 of them would be willing to answer the question for you. You know, there's LinkedIn. LinkedIn has discussion groups for ex-offenders that have actual experts that participate in the discussions. Families of Prisoners on Daily Strength, don't take your advice from there. And stay away from those four people that are, you know, they think they own the internet and they think they know everything there is to know. I don't know. I've been to prison and been through the process, but I sure don't know everything there is to know. So how could those people know? You know, they're just trying to work with having a loved one there. They don't know what they're talking about. Don't take advice from them. My advice is to not take advice from those bimbos. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. We'll be right back after this. In the cell door, still gonna slam. Everybody liberating, representing all the fighting. Zip code tattoo, I don't fucking like you. Hello, we got some great shows coming up. We got Jerry Smith and Harris Glasser coming up. These are going to be excellent. They're geared for ex-offenders by people who have decided to write in that direction and to speak in that direction. These shows coming up in the next couple of weeks right here on The Journey of Hope. The end of another show. I want to thank my special guest today, Dale Stanton, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.